Welcome to this episode of the Fearless Dentistry Podcast, and I'm your host, Dr. John Gordon. Today, I'm excited to have with us Tiffany Wieben. Tiffany is a registered dental hygienist, but she's much more than that. And as I shared with Tiffany a few minutes ago, I've been stalking her for a couple of days. Really, I like to dig deep with my guests, and I dug kind of deep on Tiffany. Tiffany and I both have a number of common acquaintances, and the people that we know are really good people, aren't they, Tiffany?
Yes, the best.
Tiffany and I have been visiting pre-show, and it just is a real delight for me to have Tiffany with us. Two things that really clicked my interest with Tiffany is that we both have a very good friend, Samantha Jones, and Sam said, John, you need to meet Tiffany. And when Sam said that, I knew it was true. I needed to meet Tiffany. And then we have a number of friends that cross-link, and those people that are friends of ours, Tiffany, we both discussed, they're good quality people, just really, really good folks. And so I knew I was getting a hold of a quality individual. What Tiffany is known for is the Hygienepreneur. That's her handle on LinkedIn. She has a great website. I have visited that. She also has written a book that was published in 2021. She's getting ready to put out the second edition. Kudos to her for the energy and the dedication and the time commitment to put that out. But what we're going to talk about today is the dental hygiene department in your private practice, dentist. And this is something that Tiffany, I've always believed that has been totally undervalued for years with dentists. And when we get into conversations with dentistry about hygiene, we kind of look at it as just a revenue well by having as many dental hygiene appointments stacked in our day as possible. I never really proclaimed to that theory. So Tiffany, welcome. And let's lay a platform out here where these dentists can take your information and build an awesome foundation for a hygiene department within their practice. So thank you for being with us.
Absolutely. Well, it's all about being hygiene driven and building a successful hygiene department, a hygiene practice within a practice is what I say.
I love that phrase. I love that.
Oh, it does so much, Dr. John. I mean, it's like my whole mission when I started this company was to help my doctor, help dentists really elevate their day and not be so stressed out and be able to lean on their team in a big way. And the doctors that I work with, they realize that hygiene isn't just there to serve patients with their hygiene appointments, with their dental cleanings, and just to get 75% of all diagnosed restorative out of hygiene. No, it can be a driving force to a successful practice. And have those patients keep coming in, keep that back door closed as those new patients come into the front, and the practice just grows very naturally, all on the soft skills of the hygienist.
You mentioned something right there at the very end, soft skills of the hygienist. And I don't want to ignore that, but you know, having someone come into the dental practice as a hygienist, let's go back to the hiring component, Tiffany, with that, because when we put out advertisements for dental hygiene, a position open in our practice, we really don't know how to create a qualified ad that brings good qualified people. Share with us the importance of finding the right person.
Well, when I talk to my doctors, the first thing I say is, let's look at your Google reviews. And they say, well, why? And I, because when people are looking for jobs, they look at those Google reviews and they want to say, oh, that doctor's good. I see that ad. I've checked them out. I've vetted them. And yes, I'm going to go in and have those conversations with this doctor, because if the patients like the doctor, then that means they must have a really good team as well. So, you know, you start with that, making sure that you've got really good, solid Google reviews, 5 stars, and that, you know, the patients are singing your praises. And then that will better attract and retain your existing staff. Then when that person comes in, you listen to the language. Is the hygienist all about the patient care and the practice growth? And then says, okay, I know I'm going to win in the end. But let's start with the practice winning. Let's start with the patient care. And let's talk about leadership and empowerment. Let's talk about an owner mindset. So you know, you kind of listen to those keywords and then you kind of sit back. And it's interesting how when somebody starts really sharing what their personal mission is, and I ask that too, when I'm onboarding hygienists, I'll say, what's your personal mission? And they go, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, I know. When I first started practicing, I didn't, you know, write down a personal mission statement for me and my life and my practice and why I'm a hygienist and why I picked this profession in its entirety. But that's something that we need to start with, because when the hygienist says, well, I guess my values are, my purpose is, then you can see if the practice and that hygienist are aligned in that. And, you know, then you're off to the races. I mean, it's wonderful.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned a couple of things there, their purpose, their values. And I like to be involved in the interview. I would not relegate it completely to the staff, because I knew what I was looking for and wanting. And I wanted to hear words like purpose, value. And it's interesting, unfortunately, Tiffany, I didn't hear a lot of staff applicants using those words. So it's sifting in and really looking for the cream of the crop, and that's a hard task to do. You have to be patient with the process, don't you?
Yes, and every once in a while you get a unicorn. And when you get that unicorn, what happens is that unicorn can be that leader role, and there's a lot of us out there, believe me. I meet them every day, these wonderful hygienists that are unicorns in their profession, and they want to lead. They want to take that hygiene department and let it soar, you know, with them driving it. They want those keys to the kingdom. And so, you know, but we have to start, the employer has to start with a conversation. What are your values? Because that hygienist maybe has never had that kind of conversation, that type of conversation. And when we sit down and have those talks, it kind of surprises the hygienist, like, whoa, they're asking me something really different than I've ever been asked before. And you know what? This might be the practice for me.
I'm going to go back to something you said earlier that I wanted to come back to, is the soft skills. And as professionals with our professional schools, we're taught the hard skills. We're taught how to use the scalers and the periodontal probes and all these things, and to get the end result that we're wanting. And in dentistry, obviously, how to push the handpiece and do preparations and whatever. But there's not much talk, if any at all, about soft skills. And that's something that I learned early on in my practice, that what was going to take me further was going to be the soft skills. I worked hard on my clinical skills. I wanted to do an excellent, extraordinary job for my patients. But unless I developed soft skills, I was never going to have the opportunity to do the type of dentistry that I wanted to. And so I had a talk with myself in the mirror one day. John, you have got to, you know, step out your comfort zone here and take a higher level, more demanding, something that really pushes you to learn and to develop your clinical skills further. But then again, there was still that void about the soft skills and how to deal with these people. When we learn the soft skills, Tiffany, we see patients really open up, don't we?
Yes. And you know what, Dr. John? Let's say our doctors, because they're hyper-focused on their cases, their clinical cases, and all the administrative stuff, right? So this is another example. Lean on your hygiene team who has it in, like, we're born with that. Within 5 minutes, we can make best friends with a new patient. We can continuously ask those existing patients how their families are doing, how that cruise was. And we start seeing generations of family members, right? They continue to come back and see us and bring their children, their grandchildren. I mean, I've been practicing since 2005, and I've seen many generations of families, and they all come in. And they come back because of the hygiene soft skills, the hygienist's natural ability to create those lasting, trusting relationships with those patients.
Yes.
And so it's in us. And I just spoke at a hygiene school 2 weeks ago in front of all these students right here in Nashville, Tennessee. And, you know, I do that and it's fun for me. And I told them, I said, you all have the most amazing gifts. You have no idea the power you have to build a practice. And I don't know if exactly if they got it yet, but I know when they go in, because they just graduated, I know when they go in and they start practicing, they're going to go, oh my goodness, this is what Tiffany was talking about. I can build a practice within this operatory. And when I made that discovery, because remember, my background was in practice management. I was never a dental assistant. I was a regional manager of six practices and then went to hygiene school. And so I knew how to build a practice from the front office as an administrator. But then I figured out pretty quickly that as a hygienist, I could build a practice very quickly. And it was all about with those relationships with those patients, those friendly conversations, those heartfelt moments. All of that brings those patients back.
Mm-hmm.
Our patients don't know the kind of dentistry we're doing. They don't know if the margin on number two is perfect. They know how you make them feel.
Correct.
It's about the relationship and how you make them feel and having those heartfelt conversations. And because everybody goes through things in life. And I used to kind of say to a couple of my patients that were patients of mine for a really, really long time, I'd say, gosh, it's like belly up to the bar. Tell me your problems and I'll keep a secret, you know. But it's like that. It's like that. And you know what? It's so fun. Isn't it so amazing, yeah. Right?
You know, Tiffany, you're so right. It is fun to hear their story. Now, when they come into the practice as a new patient, you know, we go a little, I try to go a little bit deeper into their story because we're brand new to each other. But once we know that and they're in the practice for a few years, you like hearing those little update stories about the family. And when you ask them that, you're just strengthening the bond and you're letting the patient know that, again, that they're important to you. And that's what I think is, it's a golden, golden opportunity for the hygienist. And that's why I place such high value in my hygiene department. And I know that's what you're trying to initiate, encourage the dental hygienist to be aware of the opportunity that they have before them and the dentist. But they just don't know about that, do they?
This is why I have all my scribble, because I'm writing the second edition. But this hygienist, yes, this is me. But I came up with this one day when I was practicing with my doctor and I ran down the hall and he was just about to go into the operatory. And I said, Doc, you got to wait. I got this idea. And he goes, okay, what? And he always taught us power stance and we would laugh because it was so silly, right? But it does something for you. And so we stand up tall, put your hands on your hips. And then I said, okay, I'm doing power stance, but check this out. And then I raised my hand up and he goes, okay, what are you doing? And I said, your practice is in my hands. You're in there. The team's in there. The patients are in there. And it's the hygienist, the hygienepreneur that is lifting that practice up to new heights. It's the hygienepreneur with all of her soft skills and his soft skills. It's the hygienepreneur with our perfect systems, our great handoffs, our ability to make those relationships with those patients and tee up treatment plans for the doctor like nothing. It's the hygienist that has that power. And so, you know, when I go out and I speak and I present on the different things that I've learned through the years, it's always the foundation that we're the ones that can carry it. And when the doctors allow us to do it, it helps them focus on other things. And then that practice just grows. So it's like, just empower your hygienist. Just elevate them and say, gosh, you can do this. And thank you. This is what we need. And, you know, I had a doctor call me yesterday and he goes, Tiffany, do you think that the hygienist should see the new patients in the hygiene chair? And then I come in and I said, absolutely. And he goes, well, you know, one of my buddies does it this way and my other buddy does it this way. And I said, you let that hygienist in 5 minutes make best friends with that patient. And that patient will sit back in the chair and go, I made the best decision of my life coming to this practice.
Yeah.
This is my practice for life.
Yeah.
The first meeting, hygienist, doctor comes in. We don't want to discount doctor because our doctors are the reason why we practice. I have so much thanks to our dentists. So much. If dentists didn't open dental practices, I would have never had a job in dentistry.
Yeah.
So a lot of respect there. But yes, so hygienists just have a lot of opportunity to do something that's so natural that it's not forced. And even down to when the patient gives you a compliment, hygienist, that's when you ask for that Google review.
Yeah.
That's how you get your Google reviews to 12, 1500, 5 stars. And,
yeah.
And the snowball of growth just happens in the practice.
Yeah. I've got a question for you. You spoke about speaking to the dental hygiene graduating class a couple of weeks ago. I saw the picture on your LinkedIn account, and I saw you in the middle of them, and you know, you're just sharing this big, beautiful smile, and the hygienists are doing the same around you. But I was looking at that picture and knowing that you had depth to you, and I was wondering, how many of those hygienists, Tiffany, do you think really got your message and really understood it? Just guesstimation.
Well, I think they all got my message. I don't know if they all understood it yet.
Yeah.
But when they step into their practices, which I think some of them, nope, it'll be another 2 weeks. Some of them will be working in about 2 weeks. They all have jobs. Most of them have jobs lined up already, obviously.
Good.
But I think when they get that experience in the op, they're going to say, oh, and they all have my phone number, by the way. I told them all, I said, you call me if anything happens that you need to mastermind, or you don't know, you know, the answer to a question. You don't have to give the answer yet. You can call me and we can talk about it, because I want you guys to go out in the world on the right foot. And they all got my book. But, you know, you just don't know until you're practicing, really. And then you sit back and you go, oh, that's what she was really talking about.
Yeah. When I graduated from dental school, you know, you graduate and you think, okay, I've got the skills to do this. You get out there and it's the first couple of weeks, months, you're going, gee, I wish I had that clinical instructor. Found myself also one day working on a patient and came to a point, it's like, oh, wow, what do I do here? And I felt the urge for my hand to go into the air, but realized that, no, John, you're on your own. You gotta do this.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the really important thing, I think, Tiffany, what you're trying to share and bring to light with people is the dental hygiene department or the dental hygiene practice within the practice. That's what I had in my practice. I wanted my hygienist to go, your operatory is your own personal practice. Manage the patients as such. Develop your practice protocol, and then let's talk about it. And I wanted to know about the exceptional handoff, the greeting, how I wanted clinical information, yada, yada. So let's go through that so the audience that is listening can, let's raise an eyebrow on them, and so that they raise a hand and want to reach out to you and ask a question. Let's develop a hygiene department or a practice within a practice.
Well, the first thing is the doctor and the hygienist have to develop that perio protocol, or the hygienist needs to sit down and say, doctor, what is your perio protocol? So there has to be calibration. So everybody's on the same page, whether you have one hygienist or nine, like some of the practices that I take care of, everybody has to be on the same page. And you have those conversations in advance. So that way, when the hygienist is saying, hey, this is the suggested care plan, she or he already knows when doctor comes in that they're going to say yes, because it's already been decided in advance how the care is going to be delivered, what the recall is going to be based upon the bone loss or the tissue health, and what tools are we going to suggest. Everybody's saying the same thing. So, you know, calibration is key, having conversations, having meetings, and then the handoff. The most important thing for the handoff isn't for the doctor and the hygienist, it's for the patient.
Yes.
And it streamlines the exam, because our poor doctors are running from operatory to operatory. And so we've got to make sure we're giving all the information very, you know, methodically. That way nothing gets missed. The patient feels like they've been heard. And the patient feels like their partnership, they have a partnership with their doctor based upon the care that's being suggested. So there's certain words that are used, like when the hygienist says, you know, Susie and I saw number two on the intraoral picture, there was a fracture across the amalgam filling. Susie and I. So you start using those conversations like that. And the patient's like, oh, this is my choice too. And Susie was concerned about this, and she and I wanted to bring this up to you, doctor. So always making sure we've got partnership. Patient is bought in. We're an advocate for that patient. We're not telling the patient what to do. We're suggesting the care plan based upon what you and the patient have decided together. But it's all about the language. And then when you do the handoff to the front office, it's doctor and Susie decided together to start with the upper right. And you know what? Doctor needs an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So, you know, the handoff is huge. And it's all about, you know, introducing Susie to doctor, not doctor to Susie.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Saying, you know, doctor, this is Susie, our new patient. We're so lucky to have her.
Yeah.
And then going through the medical and then going through chief complaint. Actually, we start with something personal. You know, her son and my son play baseball together. It's so great to see the boys. You know, you put that personal in there and then you go from there with medical, do your perio assessment in full before doctor comes in, do that in the handoff, say the concerns restoratively, what you've seen, show the images, always have those images up. Hygienists, we always talk about that. Please have those up so that way it helps you and helps your doctor and helps your patient understand.
You know, at times, Tiffany, I think that we try to make things too difficult.
Totally.
And you know what you said, have an image up on a monitor in front of the patient. I always like to have a couple of images I could refer to. And it's so easy. You know, you talked about the stress fracture in the metal filling and you know, I'd point up and ask them, do you have any questions? And building the treatment plan together around that fracture, the patient owns it. And sure, they're going to understand the need. Maybe they don't schedule for that appointment that day. They understand the need. It may be a month later they call up or they may come back in 6 months and say, hey, I'm ready for that crown. But it's the togetherness where they feel like they're a part of the design team. And when they do that, they have greater ownership and it becomes, you're not selling dentistry. They're buying what they want and what they understand the need. And it's just really, you know, what you talked about is just so critical. And it's just great, great soft communication skills, not just like we're talking to each other in the staff lounge back there, but it's actually using skills that patients understand and appreciate.
And it's just using our words. And then when we're doing our assessment, it's like, you know, speak as you do. So you have better time management and do a thorough perio chart every time you see the patient, every time, because then the patient gets bought in with their healthcare plan with everything. Then they're understanding, oh, they're so thorough. They do the same thing every time. They don't skip steps. And you know what? They're constantly assessing my current condition and seeing if what we're doing is working.
Yeah.
Because if it's not working, we've got to pivot,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's really having those conversations and making sure that we are doing something that we're really good at. We're very functional. We're very systematic. And so making sure that we have those systems in place, like how we do our assessment every time and making sure all the hygiene team does it the same way.
Yeah.
In the same order.
Yeah.
And how we do our images. Yes, we're taking intraoral pictures. And then when we're doing the exam with doctor, we are yesing that suggestion. We are using words of edification. Yes, doctor. Oh, that's a great plan. Because that builds confidence with the patient. The patient's listening to the hygienist who they love. They're best friends in 5 minutes, remember?
Yeah.
So hygienist says that, patient goes, okay, she likes that plan. I think I like that plan too.
Yeah. Going back to the dental hygiene appointment, a lot of practices, you know, they give the 1 hour, but they've also, the hygienist has to clean up the room, get prepared for the next one, and bring them back on time. So they're thinking, man, I need to end this appointment at 10 till. And so how can I get everything done in this time frame and accomplished? The doctor's thinking also he has hygiene production goals. And knows that he only can meet that if the hygienist sees 10 hygiene patients in an 8-hour schedule. And so they're looking at this and going, we don't have time to do this. That's what I look at that as an objection that dentists have, and I know it happens. But they also look at it as a barrier that helps them stay in their comfort zone because the comfort zone is what they're used to. and don't want to venture out to what are great probabilities. And my response to that, Tiffany, and see if this gels with you, slow down to speed up. With great conversations, you slow down, you ask the patient, tell me about you, you develop that emotional alignment with them, you get that connection, you develop that friendship. You, as I mentioned earlier, you don't end up selling dentistry. The patient buys what they want because they have a sense of trust that is developed in you. You get to do a lot more quadrant dentistry. You get to do a lot more dentistry in general. That's what I found in my practice. Speak about that, Tiffany, as you see it from your angle, being in the dental hygiene chair.
So one of the first thing when I go into a practice is I'm boots on the ground. I know I'm different. I like to show up to the practice and assess and see the flow, how the hygienists are working. What are their silent stressors that maybe they haven't vocalized yet, but I'm seeing some things that I'm like, why does she keep running down the hallway for a lead apron 8 times a day?
Yeah.
Okay. Examples like that. So, you know, I have a gift of being hyper focused on systems. And so the first thing is I'll go in and I look and I assess. And, you know, I always say it's not a people problem, it's a system problem. And so I'll write down these suggestions as far as, you know, okay, we've got to make sure that these are taken care of. These certain things are just screaming that we need to change in this area. And the provider will be so happy once we do that. But there's certain strategies. So it's, why do we have to schedule every patient for an hour?
Yeah.
Who came up with that? Because, you know, doctors don't do that. You don't put every crown as an hour and a half. If the patient has a maximum opening like this and it's number two and you're doing a crown, come on, you're going to allow more time. Or if you have a patient that's a little older, you're going to allow more time. You know, I go in and I say, you know, why an automatic hour? Let's schedule like the doctors. If you are seeing a 21-year-old child back from, or young adult back from college, not due for exam and images, you're going to do your cleaning and fluoride. Why do you need an hour? So it's scheduling strategic. It's scheduling productive. Schedule for more time if you need more time. If you have a patient that's perio maintenance and needs laser therapy or antibiotic therapy, and then you're also doing fluoride therapy, you might need more time. That's a perio patient. So we make sure we use good strategy as far as time management on scheduling appointments. We also use very good strategy time management on our communication skills, on how we are speaking to our patients, when to speak, how to formulate a question to be, you know, a yes or no. Because some patients can go on and on and on. And so you speak as you do. Okay. So that's a strategy, just one of them. But we definitely make sure that our time management is on point, that we're scheduling appropriate. As far as productivity, well, you know, if we have a better hygiene service mix, if we're using adjunct therapies, which is everything that we teach, you want enhanced patient care, you can't just do a perio maintenance. 75% of all perio maintenance patients will need some type of other care, right? Like antibiotic therapy, laser therapy.
Yeah.
We know too much now to sit back and just do the stuff that we've always done. We've got to treat these patients comprehensively based upon risk factors, and try to combat disease and the future progression of disease with adjunct therapy.
Correct.
So that the production just goes up. I mean, if you hone in on time management, you do the proper care for your patients as a whole, like you throw every tool you can at the disease, then what happens is you're going to be a productive hygienist. You just are.
Yeah.
And then if you're scheduling your patient back, the hygienist does it because you have the relationship with that patient, then your cancellation and reschedule rates go down. We've done studies on this because the patient does not want to disappoint the hygienist that they reserved the appointment with.
Correct.
Directly.
Correct.
So these are just a few things that when I go in and manage a hygiene department and we're trying to flip it and make it better, whether the doctor wants to sell in a year, because I do have practices where the doctors come to me and said, okay, I want to sell in 2 years. I need my hygiene department productive, because they're smart. They know what's going to sell that practice.
It's higher value.
Right? Okay. So I've been hired to go in and say, okay, let's go. And thankfully, because I speak the hygiene language, hygienists all go, oh, Tiffany, thank you. Thank goodness you're here.
Yeah.
And we do it together as a team.
Yeah. I imagine a lot of the practices that you go into and work with, Tiffany, the hygienists are very grateful for your presence with them, because they need someone that is on their side, don't they?
Well, I show up in scrubs, Dr. John. I mean,
good for you.
Oh, yes. I show up in scrubs. And if it's in California or Tennessee, because I'm licensed in both of those states, I'll actually help a hygienist if they need it. I'll wipe down the rooms, do images. I had one hygienist who was newly laser trained, and she goes, can you help me with this? And I said, yes. And she asked permission to the patient, and the patient was like, sure. It was a patient that had all on X. And then she had cleaned everything, but she didn't know how to adapt that laser tip. And so I sat in and did it for her and showed her. So it's all about that. It's about the full support of the team, and I implement and execute.
Yeah.
So I think that's the difference. But it's because when I go in, it's like I have an owner mindset for that practice that I'm helping. I might as well own it, because that's the only way I know how to operate. That's the way I've operated with all of the practices that I've worked with as a practice manager or a hygienist. And so that hasn't changed. And so a lot of times I'll tell the hygienist, hey, this is a brand new laser. Be very careful, because it was $29.95, you know? And so you got to make sure that you're treating it like you wrote the check for that piece of equipment.
Yeah. You know, that's a great place for you to come into the practice that you're visiting and helping the hygiene department, as if you're the owner and part of the team yourself, so that it's not as intimidating and they understand that truly you are there to help them. You know, one thing I did with my hygienist that seems really rather simple, and I talked earlier about making dental hygiene and the office, the systems as simple as possible with maximum benefit. And I always went back to communication, effective skills. I asked my hygienist, because it became apparent to me one day, I'm standing in there in the hygiene room talking with the patient. I'm on the right side of the chair, and the hygienist is on the left side of the chair right by the arms. And you see the patient doing this and this. Some of them are just looking straight forward, and we're talking across them. Sometimes the hygienist was back by the headrest side of the chair. And I thought, you know, the patient is the hero in this room, not us. The patient is the reason that we are there in that room. Let's make this as easy as possible for the patient to be involved. So I told my hygienist I wanted them down there at the foot of the chair with the patient sitting up, obviously. And the hygienist and I would dialogue back and forth, and then I would look up to the patient and we'd pause and I'd say, do you have any questions about what we're talking about or what we just shared? Allowing them to be involved, but they're able to look straight forward at us, and it made it very, very easy for them to be co-involved with us. And I just saw a higher level of appreciation from the patient, because they were getting the message simply.
You know, when I go in, I do training, and we work on the handoff. So doctor comes in the room, but I tell the hygienist, you need to push that chair where you want your doctor to sit, because the dentist will come in and sit where you tell him to sit.
Yeah.
So it's it's eye to eye, knee to knee, heart to heart. That's where you sit the doctor. And you have them be eye to eye, knee to knee, heart to heart with that patient, and you the same. And so that way that conversation is like this, the patient's in the middle and it's like this,
correct.
Right?
Correct.
And so they feel trust. They feel like they're part of it. So, you know, a lot of times it's hard because operatories are set up in a way and hygienists want to get the treatment plan in. But when the delivery of the message happens, when the handoff happens, and after the doctor has done the tour and they sit the patient up to do that, you know, conversation, knee to knee, heart to heart, eye to eye.
Yeah.
Hygienist comes back over and then does the nod. That's the edification. That's the yes, this is a good plan. I like what I'm hearing.
Yeah. And that's where, you know, role-playing the environment so that, you know, you can position both of yourself, the hygienist and the doctor, to where you have that great communication scenario set up to where, you know, the patient, again, is a focal point. Share with the audience, Tiffany, share some numbers that you've gone into practices and what has been the percentage increase that you've been able to help in the practice growth. And if you have a number, what's the best office that had the greatest number per day average of hygiene production after you've been with them? Because I think that those numbers resonate with doctors.
Of course. It's kind of interesting because I just spoke in Georgia at a conference for 3 days, and the doctor that owns the conference, I'm managing 4 of his practices. And so I was up there and they said, oh yeah, get up there and say a couple things about the hygienepreneur. And so, and I love this doctor. I mean, he's just great. And so I shared his. I said, you know, in 4 months, his one practice has grown 56% and the other one 29% in hygiene in just 4 months. And, you know, I've got practices in California that their reappointment rates, which they need to be as close to 100%, right? That patient leaves that hygiene operatory. Everybody needs to have an appointment.
Correct.
And so they were at like 65%. And within like 3 months, we grew them to 93%. But the biggest thing is our perio conversion. So this is something that when I first come into the practice, I don't want to overwhelm the team with a ton of metric information, even though we know that the metrics equal the care.
Correct.
And so when we start to transition into high level training with our hygiene teams, I talk about the metrics and I even have them pull their own metrics because I want them to know what kind of care they're delivering. But it's interesting how they start to go, oh yeah, I do fluoride on everybody, or yes, everybody leaves my operatory with an appointment. And then I show them the numbers and I say, well, you didn't hear and hear. And they go, really? And I go, yeah, that's why we have to look at our numbers, because we're in that hygiene hustle and we're not, you know, remembering every single situation, every single appointment we're making.
Yeah.
We're doing our very best. We're caring for these patients. Wonderful. But that's why the metrics are so powerful. Right? It keeps us honest. It keeps us right where we need to be and focusing on what we need to work on, because every practice is different.
Yep.
So I do celebrate the wins, you know, especially the prophy to perio conversion. That's a big deal, because I can't tell you how often they're at like 12% perio and their office demographics, they've got an older clientele and we know they should be as close to 60, 70% as possible. I mean, we just know this, even if we're super aggressive and say, okay, 60 to 70%, but 12%, come on, we got to do better for these patients.
Yeah. The doctor, I'm sure, shares multiple reasons as to why they don't have a higher percentage. And I've been in that scenario where I've listened to those conversations, like, you don't buy it, don't buy into it. I think a lot of doctors get lazy. They don't want to have confrontation. They settle into a flow that is just very easy. It's non-confrontational, non-adversarial, and they want it that way. But you're really not doing the patient a service. And so that's where I think, you know, your hygiene practice within the dental practice is a great thought and concept with that, Tiffany. As we kind of bring this home, I want you to share, you've got an awesome barn that you've built out there in the Nashville area, and you're going to have weekend conferences there. I looked those up. They look just awesome. You got a big smile on your face when I said that. Share with us about that and the website.
So, yeah. So our whole dream, we just moved right outside of Nashville, Tennessee, last July. And so our whole dream was to have a big barn, have events there where dental professionals can come out and network and have professional and personal growth and take action on Monday. That's the biggest thing. Every time I speak, it's like, come on, guys, don't just show up and have your CEs. Go away from your families for a weekend and just to get CEs. Take action. So they're going to take action out there. I know it. We're going to have wonderful dental community experiences. And so, yes, it's on the website, thehygienepreneur.com. And we're going to start hosting those events, hopefully by the end of this year, maybe October. We're thinking July to October. We purchased 16.2 acres out there, and we just can't wait. We just can't wait to have hygiene hoedowns and dental dude ranch retreats and have team building and bonding. And it's really neat because all my active clients get a team ticket included in their management package. So
nice.
You know, and a lot of times the doctors use that as an incentive. They'll say, okay, we get a team ticket, but we're not going unless we do this, this, and this, you know, hit these pillars, right?
Yeah.
Of success.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's a dream come true. And I just can't wait. I just can't wait to serve the community in that way too.
That sounds like an awesome deal. Good for you for thinking about it, taking the initiative, building the barn. I'm sure the barn is set up in a way that you designed it and you want it to maximize the experience for everybody there. The concept, you know, of having the practice take it back and being able to use that information come Monday morning. And that takes a little bit of flexibility and vulnerability on the doctor's part. And I'm sure that that's part of your purpose, is creating more vulnerability of the doctor with the staff. So, you know, the staff really has great ideas. And if we listen to them, maybe we don't install all of it, but a good part of it, you know, we can go, yeah, we can do a good part of this. Let's do this. Because the staff really has great ideas because they hear it straight from the patients. And patients are often very guarded what they want to share with us doctors. And I understand that. There's just the hierarchy of the doctor-patient relationship that we're never going to get rid of. But to lessen the scaffolding and even that up as much as possible, create success. And the more that we turn over to great staff persons such as yourself, Tiffany, and the people that you're training with your programs, it's ideal for us in the long run with our practice and the patient's benefit.
Well, and the biggest thing is that the dentist, these stressed out doctors, we can help them. And because, you know, we're nothing without our doctors, our dentists. And I've had so many that I work with that are wonderful. But I think it's because I step forward in a different way. I step forward as, how can I serve you? How can I serve your patients? And it came back, and I just have had so many beautiful things happen because I had that growth mindset, that nurturing, you know, it's about that. And so, you know, I think that's important, is that we can do that for our dentists. We can do that for our practices. And then we're going to end up winning too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Sure.
Everybody wins. And as we mentioned earlier, the patient's the hero. And so they're the ones that we want to be the ultimate winner. Tiffany, I really appreciate you being with me today and sharing with our audience your thoughts on the dental hygiene practice within the dental practice. That's a great concept. Kudos for you for really putting that out there and tickling the curiosity of the hygienists out in the field and hopefully the doctors also. I encourage our audience to go to Amazon and get the Hygienepreneur book. I'm going to get a copy myself and read it. I'm very curious about the content. I'm looking forward to when your revised edition comes out. Also, Tiffany, at the end of our podcast notes, we're going to post how the audience can get a hold of you. If there's one avenue that you prefer over the other, which would it be for them to get a hold of you?
Oh, Facebook is fine.
Okay.
It's so interesting because I have the business page and I have my personal page, and I'm such a relationship person that everybody goes to my personal page, but I love it because we're all friends in dentistry, right?
Yeah.
It's all about our connections and our tribe. And so, yeah, so Facebook would be fine. And also, all your listeners, we're going to give them the PDF version at no cost as a gift. And so I would love to do that, Dr. John, and put that on the show notes so that way
awesome.
They can access that.
That's a great gift from you. thank you, Tiffany, for doing that. We'll have the link at the end of the show notes for them to download that copy.
Nice.
That is great. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Again, thank you for being with us and sharing your wisdom, your experience. And I really look at what you shared today as a dream and vision for the listeners. And hopefully we opened up their mind and tickled their imagination and curiosity. So
I hope so. I hope so. Because I just want everybody to win.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, when we come in, it's like, hey, it's possible, guys. Everybody can win in this situation.
You bet.
It's just exciting to see everybody so happy and thriving and having fun and reducing burnout, all of those things. So it's just really important.
It's a great profession and we need to love what we do. And I know that's part of your mission. Thank you, audience, for spending time with us. As I mentioned, at the end of the show notes, we'll have the connection avenues to get a hold of Tiffany. She'd be more than happy to spend time and visit with you, share with you what she does as a hygiene and practice coach and consultant. So don't hesitate to reach out to her. You won't regret it.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much, Dr. John. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you, Tiffany.